This episode is sponsored by Turtle Pearl Yarns. Turtle Pearl Yarns specializes in hand-dyed, self-striping sock yarn. They have a large selection of self-striping patterns, lots of different colorways to choose from, and each one comes in two 50-gram hanks. So if you start knitting from the same end, you get a pair of fraternal twin socks. And they have such great colorways. Casey and I are big fans of Turtle Pearl and have been using their yarns for a while now. And we actually get to break some news because they have a new colorway coming out on Friday, February 8th. And we're the first to announce it here on Very Pink Knits. Friday, February 8th at noon, Atlantic Standard Time. Isn't it funny that we have to give these exact times because people rush in to buy the stuff they're really excited about. The colorway is called A Stroll Down Duckworth Street. It's boasting beautiful and fun heritage colors of the shops and homes found on Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland in Canada. I actually haven't seen this yet. I'm just describing it to you. It's Merlot red, teal green, violet, golden yellow, heritage blue, and burnt orange. It's full of color just like the street. I am definitely excited to see this now. I can see a pair of socks in my future. And as always, Turtle Pearl ships worldwide. They have a small staff with full hearts, and they always give us a coupon code. So for 15% off in February, you go just enter the coupon code VPFEB. 19. That's Very Pink February 19. I'll have that coupon code in the show notes. That's for 15% off through the end of this month. And if you jump over to the show notes for this episode, I will have a link to Turtle Pearl and the coupon code there for you. Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is a media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com, and please tell us where you're from. This is episode 130, and we're going to talk about things and put them in the show notes and coupon codes, whatever comes up. If you want to see those show notes, you can go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page to see everything that we're talking about. And Casey, we're back after a classic episode last week.
Yes,
because circumstances.
Yes.
Did you want to tell us about the circumstances?
Because my cats almost died.
They're fine. They're fine.
But, they're fine.
Yeah, I got a text from you or an email, whatever it was, and it was midnight, and you're like, I'm at the emergency vet, so tomorrow morning might be a problem to record.
But yep.
That was a week ago, and everything's okay.
Yeah, PSA to everybody, don't have lilies out around your cats, which I had no idea. And you know, I think I had heard that about Easter lilies, but never thought about it for like stargazer lilies or any other of those kinds, the little pollen that gets on you if you touch it. He had pollen on his nose, and I put a picture on Instagram, and thankfully somebody on Instagram was like, be careful, that's poisonous. So I called poison control, and they were like, yeah, you need to go to the emergency vet. And so they were 2 days on IVs. She was fine. He had a little bit of kidney damage, but he's fine. But yeah, lesson learned.
Holy cow. I had no idea.
I didn't either. And gosh, it said like even just a little pollen, or if they drink the water, because most of them will eat the flowers and then throw up. So he wasn't showing any symptoms or anything. But, you know, I had no idea if she had licked his face or, you know.
Right. You had to take care of both of them.
Yeah. So,
you know, I always just pull those little pollen things off, not because I had any idea that they were dangerous, but just because they make such a mess.
Yeah. I don't know if it's as dangerous for dogs. There's certain plants that dogs shouldn't be in either. So, yeah. So now I know the lesson.
And now and that's the well, it wasn't even the whole story. The reason we ran the classic episode, we actually were going to record on a Saturday, which we never do. But then because you were going to be down here in the area, and then that time got moved, and then that wasn't going to work. And so we actually tried to record last week's episode a couple of times. We still
ended up. It wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening. And then you traveled. You just got back from Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
looks like a beautiful city. Like you had a good time too.
Fabulous. I would love to go back. I want to move there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except I ate everything in sight, so maybe I shouldn't move there.
What was the weather like?
It was cold, actually. And when I was flying in, I was flying through Atlanta and they had canceled school because they thought they were going to get snow, and then they didn't get any at all.
Oh.
But it was cold for a couple of days, but not too cold. It was very similar to what we've had going on. So
yeah, your pictures looked really good. I just didn't have a gauge for what the temperature might have been like, because it gets really hot there in the summer, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they're on the coast, so they were warmer than Atlanta. But yeah, it was fun. It was a great time.
Yeah,
definitely recommend.
Did you visit any yarn shops there?
I didn't. I was with non-knitting people, so we just walked around the whole city. My friend and I walked around on Friday, and it was like by the end of the day, she looked at her Fitbit thing and realized we'd walked like 10 miles.
Oh my gosh.
So we were really tired.
Yeah, I can imagine you were tired. Well, I can't imagine being too tired to visit a yarn shop, but
I know.
If you didn't have time, maybe next time you'll have to go back.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't set out to go. We only like set out to go to the big park and then just kind of see what we would see along the way and along the way back. So we didn't really have an agenda. So I didn't look up any yarn shops.
Oh, weird.
Weird.
Well, this episode is chock full of magically turning knitting questions into knitting answers. So I'm glad you're back in town. Let's go ahead and get started with the knitting questions.
Okay. Hi, Stacy. This is a follow-up. I just wanted to offer up additional reasons to use progress markers / clips from episode 128. I find them very helpful to mark the first row of knitting if the pattern states to knit a specific number of rows. For myself, I find it difficult to tell the difference between the cast-on row and the actual first row of knitted stitches or ribbing. So if the pattern specifies to knit / do ribbing for a certain number of rows, I find it very helpful to mark the row after the cast-on so I can easily count the rows correctly. Thanks for the great podcast, Rachel from Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Well, thank you, Rachel. Though we talked about progress keepers, and I actually posted a picture for that episode, little things you clip onto your work, and then you can knit, and see how much you've knit since you've been sitting there. And there is another good reason for it. I wanted to pop that follow-up in. Okay, now we can get started with the questions.
Okay. Hi, Stacy. My name is Christine. I've seen about every one of your tutorial videos, and I'm ready to take my knitting to the next level with knitting letters in Fair Isle. You're the best knitting teacher for me, so I would really love and appreciate it if you can do this video tutorial for me. Christine from New York.
Hi, Christine. Knitting letters in video. Knitting, adding letters to knitting may not be as straightforward as you're thinking. For the most part, it's easier to use duplicate stitch than to do a Fair Isle knitted word into something. And I'll give a link to my video called Intarsia versus duplicate stitch, or duplicate stitch versus Intarsia, whichever way around it is. And now I'm just thinking, though, Casey, you actually did a hat with words in it, and it was Fair Isle, but the words must have gone all the way around the hat. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It had words and like stars.
Okay. Because that's the only way that it really makes sense. If you have like a hat and you want to put, you know, Sue on the hat, those three letters won't make it all the way around the whole hat, and you're ending up with these blobs of knitting, and that ends up being Intarsia or duplicate stitch and not Fair Isle. So I'm going to encourage Christine to watch my video on duplicate stitch versus Intarsia, because it really is, if you want letters, it really is just easier to duplicate stitch, which is embroidering the letters on rather than actually trying to knit them in.
Okay. Hey, Stacy and Casey, I want you to know that I love listening to your podcast. I've never listened to a podcast before, and now I have listened to every episode you have made so far.
Wow.
I know. Now I'm sad because I've listened to them on my way to work, to and from work for the last month, and now I'm caught up and I have nothing left to listen to. I've tried other knitting podcasts, but haven't found one that I'm interested in yet. So my question is this. I am a taller than average girl and only like to wear tops that are longer. I can't stand for the bottom edge of my top to stop at the top of my pants. There are so many beautiful sweater patterns that I would love to knit, but I can tell from the photos on Ravelry that they would not be long enough for me. I assume that if there is plain stockinette or garter stitch in the body of the sweater, I could just increase rows there to add length, but what about sweaters with more advanced patterns or cables? I've been knitting for about 17 years, so I'm comfortable with advanced techniques, but I've never tried my hand at designing. I know I have heard Stacy say that she was tall also, and I'm sure you can give some good advice on how to correctly increase the length of advanced sweaters so I can knit them up. Keep up the amazing work you're both doing. I feel like I know you both, even though we have never met. Thanks in advance. Rachel from Huntington, Tennessee.
Hi, Rachel.
Is that Huntington?
Yeah, Huntington.
Huntington.
With a D. Yeah. Rachel, yes, this is a good question. And if you want to add length and it's a stockinette sweater, of course, that's just easy. Just add more rows of stockinette to add the length. I'm used to adding length to sleeves, but it's funny. Yes, I'm a tall person, but my body isn't especially long. When I'm sitting down at a table, I'm the same height as everyone else. It's only when I stand up that I'm taller than everybody else. So I don't have a lot of personal experience with adding length to a sweater body, but just to the sleeves. If you're working in a pattern that, you know, like a cable pattern or a lace pattern, you're going to be limited to adding length in the number of rows in a repeat. If you have like, I'm just gonna use a cable pattern for this example. You have a 12 row cable repeat, you can only really add length and make it look right if you're adding length in 12 row increments, if you're gonna, you know, add 12 more rows or 24 more rows. So it does end up being kind of limiting when you have a more advanced pattern like that. And so that's easy enough, just adding repeats of whatever the pattern is that you're doing. The thing that gets more complicated, and I can't really give a broad answer for, is if you have a lot of shaping in the sweater. If you have waist shaping, hip shaping in the sweater, if you're adding length to that, that gets trickier. You're actually going to have to kind of redesign the sweater a little bit to accommodate the waist shaping or change. I imagine if your body is long, your waist might not hit in the spot that the waist and hip shaping is showing up in the sweater. So that gets trickier. Rachel says she's been knitting for 17 years and she's confident. So that's kind of a case by case thing. I wish there was an easy answer for that. But, and it's the same thing if you were looking at making a shorter sweater, if it's a pattern repeat, like a cable or something, you can remove sections, like whatever the pattern repeat is in that number.
Yeah.
Have you ever done this, Casey?
No, I've just added a couple rows. I'm not that tall. I'm kind of normal sized. But my arms are really long.
Yes, you do have long arms.
But I'm sorry to say that all the sweaters now are cropped. That's like the look right now if you're on Ravelry.
I don't want to hear that. Your Christmas sweater is short and it's cute. But
yeah, I actually added a couple extra rows.
You did? Mm-hmm. And it still kind of hits you at the waist, doesn't it?
I mean, the way it's designed, it would have like been right, really cropped. So I just added a little bit and it's still cropped. So
yeah. Well, I hope that helps, Rachel. Yeah.
Okay, hello, ladies. Your podcast and your YouTube video tutorials are one of a kind. Truly, thank you for sharing your knowledge and expertise. You do a beautiful job. Say, just a quick non-knitting question. I see from your website and video covers that you often model your designed socks. Please enlighten us on the story of your flaming ball of yarn and knitting needle tattoo. Keep up the great work and laughter. Nancy F. from Savage, Minnesota. Currently 11 degrees here. I bet it's like negative 11 right now.
Yeah. It's called Savage, Minnesota. Well, yeah. Nancy, don't get cold. There's no real super special story with my flaming ball of yarn tattoo. I got it when I completed the first section of the Master Knitters program, and it was just kind of an accomplishment and a thing I did. I actually, this is when I lived in Houston, I had a friend who had this tattoo, and I said, I love your tattoo. I would love to get that. I said, do you mind if I get the same tattoo? She was a friend, but we didn't like hang out or, I mean, it wasn't like people were going to say, oh, that's so-and-so's tattoo. But she was nice enough to share the art with me, and I changed the colors up and got the tattoo on my ankle. And now, I mean, I had no idea when I got this tattoo that I was going to be designing socks and taking pictures of my own feet and legs in these socks, but there's the tattoo and I love it. I love it. I'm happy I got it. It's my only knitting tattoo though. You want to tell us about your knitting tattoos, Casey?
I don't have any. I have a regular just 1990s star and moon tattoo.
Oh, I didn't even know you had that. Okay.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, it's on my ankle just like yours, but nobody really sees it. So,
you know what? You wear a lot it. In the summer, you wear a lot of long dresses.
I wear leggings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next question. Hi, thanks for teaching me so much about knitting. The decrease shaping of the pattern I'm working on is instructing me to repeat decrease row every 20th row twice more. Does this mean to make the decreases again on the 20th row or to knit 20 rows and then knit the decreases on the 21st row? The reason I'm asking is that the pattern only instructs how to decrease on a right side row, and if I decreased on the 20th row, I would be decreasing on a wrong side row.
Oh my God, I'm so confused.
That was like a mouthful.
I know, I'm so confused because you actually skipped a question and I was waiting for...
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It just took me a minute to keep up. But then when I realized what was happening, you were halfway through this question of decreasing 20, decreasing 20 rows. Do I decrease 20 rows? That's lost. Look, let me go back through this again. I read the question when I put it in here, but now I want to make sure I have it right. The pattern says... repeat decrease row every 20th row twice more. And does this mean to do it again on the 20th row or to knit 20 rows and then knit the decrease on the 21st row? Okay, that makes sense. It's every 20th row is what the pattern says. So you're going to knit 1 through 19 and then the 20th row will be a decrease row. Now, here's the thing though. It doesn't make a big difference. It's one row of knitting. If you want, if that's going to put you on the wrong side, one row of knitting to get you on the right side of the work to work the decrease row as written is not going to make a difference in your finished sweater or whatever it is. Now, the only thing that you might want to take note of here is if, say, you're knitting a sweater front and a sweater back and they need to have the exact same number of rows, just make a little note in your pattern that says, you know, I decreased on the 20th row, the 40th row, or I decreased on the 21st row, the 41st row, whatever it ends up being, so that you can make a back that matches with the decreases and the exact same length. But really, little things like this, it isn't clear in the pattern, and it'd be nice if the pattern was more clear about exactly what they wanted you to do, but just you can confidently move forward knowing that that's not going to make a huge difference. And we don't have a name on that one, so it was...
I know.
Okay. Well, I hope it helped him or her.
Okay. Hey, Stacey and Casey, thanks for such a great program. Between the knitting videos and podcasts, you've turned me into a lifelong knitter. My question is about yarn weight. What's the difference between fingering and light fingering weight yarn? Thank you for your time, Frank H. from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Frank. The difference between fingering and light fingering. You know, light fingering, I don't even think is really a thing. It's not. I think it's just something that someone like made up for a yarn, but because we've talked about this on the podcast before, yarn companies can call a yarn whatever they want to call it because there's no rules about what to call something. So something that I would definitely call DK weight yarn, the yarn company is calling worsted, and something that I would call worsted, they're calling fingering. You know, it's kind of all over the place. But if you look at the chart that we have, that is the best standard that we have in the industry, the chart that actually says the wraps per inch and what different weights of yarn are called in different areas of the world. It's kind of all encompassing. I'll link to that. I'll link to that chart in the show notes. There is no light fingering. It goes from lace to fingering. And there's no in between. But if a yarn company is working up some yarn and it ended up being like a little heavier than lace, a little lighter than sock yarn, I guess that's, I mean, what do you think, Casey? Is it voodoo?
No, I have some light fingering yarn that I've been like, well, what am I going to make out of this? Because it's a designation on some patterns, but I think I'm just going to sub it out for
fingering. You've seen patterns that call for light fingering?
Well, on Ravelry, you can search by that. It's one of the options.
Okay. I did not know this. Yeah. I guess I'm always using this yarn chart where there isn't this thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm assuming it's like you're saying, it's probably close enough to fingering that I can use fingering weight.
Yeah.
Patterns.
If it's, but I don't know. When I'm knitting socks if it just happens that I'm using a sock yarn that's a little bit lighter than the sock yarns I normally use, I don't enjoy knitting those socks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like my socks to be, I guess, a little bit tighter gauge with maybe a little bit thicker yarn. I don't know. But yeah, of course, if you can get the gauge for it, you can use it for any fingering pattern. I thought I was going to go and see, what is all this light fingering about? Because, you know, we got this question and...
I mean, I wonder if it's the difference between DK and sport. Like, yeah. What's the difference there?
There is officially a difference, but to me, those words are really interchangeable. When I'm looking for yarn to knit something, DK sport doesn't really make a difference. You can pretty much get gauge with either. And in my patterns that use DK and sport weight yarn, I always say DK or sport. And right. I've never had anyone who's knit the pattern come back and say, DK was too heavy. It doesn't matter. Right. It either works. Yeah.
Right.
But now I'm wondering, because Frank asked the question, but Frank didn't give us any background as to why I wonder if he knows more than we do about light fingering.
Or maybe he's like me and he bought some yarn and was like, wait, this is light fingering? What am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It would, if I had a hank of light fingering yarn, there might be some in my yarn closet. I don't know, because I would never think, oh, is this fingering or is this light fingering? It's just sock yarn. Just what's the difference? I don't know. Anyway, Casey, before I throw a complete fingering, light fingering fit, we should probably end this episode.
Don't throw a fit.
I'm about to. If people want to find you online.
My website is kcknits.com. That's the letter K and the letter C.
Very good. And your social media buttons are there if people want to see your beautiful pictures from Savannah. And you can find me on the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel, of course, and on verypink.com. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the homepage there, all of my social media buttons are there. That is all for this episode and this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.